Albert Rafiti reading from a chapter in his PhD thesis, Mavai and Tofinga, Spatial Exposition of Samoan Cosmogony and Architecture, 2014. The chapter is titled Being Social, the Context in Which the Va Has to Embed Itself. In its traditional Samoan setting, Va is the organizing principle in which things are given their place and relations are forged between people, as well as between people, objects, space, and territory. As a political agent, it works as a principle of interdependence, a unidirectional relationship between matai and dependence, in which one is meaningless without the other. Serge Jerkosoff points out that in hierarchical societies, peaceful relations of equality and are located within the hierarchy, understood as a space organized by belonging to the same whole. Within that space, there is room for equality at every level. Thus, the movement of power in this context is hierarchical because one of the terms is everything to the other and the converse is never the case. Samoan society is structured along similar hierarchies that contain different interdependent levels, where each level is meaningless without the other. Persons and objects, for instance, are graded and ranked and given different stations or spheres of relations. Thus, people inherit or are bestowed roles, or tofi, which allow them to sit, nofo, at the center of the circle of matai, made up of ali'i or paramount chiefs, and tulafale, orator chiefs. Outside the circle are adjunct spheres made up of tausi, the wives of matai, mirroring the circle of whamatai, the awaluma, the unmarried women, and the aumanga, the untitled men. Va is the glue that folds relationships and interaction into a relational field of actions. As Bradshaw notes, it orders social relations. What is integral to the notion of a person within this sphere of relation is that the person is a distributed entity made up of many parts and connecting lines of relations, and each part can flow from the person to other persons and connecting many in turn. The term tautuananga, or to remember, comes into play here as the call for responsibility and responsiveness to one's relationships and for honoring one's ancestors and family. One has to maintain many lines of relationships. For subjects in the diaspora, these lines of relations to a Samoan context can become very slack. This is because customary understanding of va no longer applies to subjects in the diaspora. Samoans in the diasporas are subjected to laws based on democratic principles of equality in which all subjects have equal access to rights and resources. And by contrast, the va in the Samoan context keep people within separate and unequal spheres, which are, however, connected and orbit each other. In the diaspora, these spheres are no longer maintained, and the va as a traditional way to manage and order relationship has gone through successive transformations. To understand the structure of space in Samoan thinking more generally, comparative studies of Samoan concepts and their Western counterparts are useful. For example, in his analysis of the Samoan context of social relations, The anthropologist Brad Shaw notes the absence in Samoa of a verb equivalent to the English verb to be. He points out that an important part of Western thought, by comparison with Samoan thought, is the dichotomy between the real and the apparent. And to quote Shaw, the phenomenal world is interpreted as an array of appearances or seemings and shadows, a veil behind which truth lies as an absolute state beyond both time and space. End of quote. Western thought is distinct from Polynesian thought in its stress of the internal consistency structuring human experience, which reduces the intuition of those non-Western peoples. It seeks to comprehend by turning the possibility of a cross-cultural interpretation into a science. A Samoan understanding of space, as Shaw indicates, takes into account a theory of action rather than one of being, which recognizes the world in its dual aspects, both a transient, mutable, and dynamic aspect, and a stable, immutable, and formal dimension. Both are firmly linked to the phenomenal world, and Shaw believes that, for Samoans, to quote, both aspects of experiences are equally true, for each is appropriated to a different context, and all contexts are linked as complements in actual experience, end of quote. Brad Shaw wrote in the late 1970s and in the early 1980s, and by the 1990s, a greater understanding of space and cultural difference was in full swing. Seetha Low and Denise Lauren Zuniga, for instance, observe that a renewed interest in issues of space and place in the 1990s foregrounded spatial dimensions of culture rather than treating them as background. To quote, human behavior was now seen as being located in and constructive of space, end of quote. This renewed interest in space perpetuated assumptions about globalized space and promoted a divided view of the nature of space itself and of the relation between space and society. To quote, space and society mapped onto each other, and together they were from the beginning divided up. Cultures, societies, and nations were all imagined as having an integral relation to bounded spaces, internally coherent and differentiated from each other by separation, end of quote. Places as location of cultural identity came to be seen as bounded, with their own internal generated authenticities and defined by their difference from other places beyond their borders. Doreen Massey proposes that this imagined space is a way to organize global space as divided, regionalized, so that the nation state as a project could be legitimated as progress, as natural across the globe. Akhil Gupta and James Ferguson call this the isomorphism of space, place, and culture, using the example of how the Bushmen came to be Bushmen. They argue that instead of assuming the autonomy of the primeval community, and to quote them, we need to examine how it was formed as a community out of the interconnected space that always already existed, end of quote. They propose that a shared historical process differentiates and connects the world. Debates in the Pacific and elsewhere suggest that received categories and authenticities need to be questioned, and that the current assumptions of remoteness and isolation have been produced both discursively and materially through colonialism. Anthropologists and social scientists in general may have adopted a lens of local studies, imagining themselves to have found primitive isolates. They define them as place-defined societies and assumed that they were pre-capitalist originals. Massey regards space as a product of dynamic interrelations, connections and disconnections, and their combined effects, an emergent product of relations. This would include relations which establish boundaries, where place is necessarily meeting place. In such cases, difference of a place must be conceptualized predominantly as the constant emergence of, to quote, uniqueness out of and within the specific constellation of interrelations, within which a place is set, but also what is made of that constellation, end of quote. In the rationalized project of modernity, spaces and cultures are differentiated into temporal sequences in which Western Europe is advanced, other parts of the world some way behind, yet others are backwards. The transformation of the world geography into world history renders spatial heterogeneity as a single temporal series, and thereby reduces cultural difference to that between places within a historical queue. Scientific studies of other cultures turns out to be a process of distancing, in which the subject of study is separated from the object by history, and the object of study becomes distant from the subject's scientific gaze. This distancing has the effect, to quote, of decreasing the actuality of difference, because difference or heterogeneity is neatly packed into its bounded spaces and dismissed to the past, or to dismiss from our past, end of quote. Massey proposes that a more useful way to identify the world of the others is to treat history as a simultaneous event. She uses the notion of coevalness, an imaginative space of engagement that mutually implicates identity, space, and time in the construction of a space of complexity and multiplicity. The end of modernity not only heralds the arrival of the margins at the center, but also the arrival of people from the past. Distance is suddenly eradicated, both spatially and temporally, and migration is an assertion of coevalness, and to quote Massey, the repression of the spatial was bound up with the establishment of foundational universals, and vice versa. The repression of the possibility of multiple trajectories and the denial of the real difference of others was what at issue was the establishment of a geography of power, knowledge. End of quote. And it was in this context, in the mid-1990s, that Albert Wendt's reimagining of the VAR took place. The subject of such times as a body becoming, to quote Al Wendt, created a VAR by clearing a space for itself among and alongside other bodies. The crux of the reinvention of the VAR at this moment is that it must provide a space of equality, where a proper engagement between Samoans and, by extension, the other Pasifika community and people of the new land could take place, an engagement based on respect, te uliva, and in this sense, te uliva become the possibility of existing and engaging with others on the same level by bringing things into relation, and by doing so, exist as equal. This would be the ideal of coevalness that Fabian and Massey conceptualize, which allows the native other to exist spatially and temporally on the same plane with modern subject.